It is now January the 22nd here on a Friday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, and we're looking forward to an hour in which can be very providential. I'm looking to my left at Wired.com called Wired Science. Title of the article is Gene Therapy Death is Still a Mystery. It's all about the death gene, the death code. Something inside of us is missing, according to geneticists, and that something that is missing eventually no longer renews or enables us to renew ourselves, thus aging, thus the coming death, that we are dying. Now, that's not a great introduction tonight, but the truth is, all around the world, whether by massive catastrophe, as we've seen in Haiti, by the way, we keep our prayers up and continue to give down there to help out. It's about helping human beings. But then there's also the Georgia Guidestones that wants to reduce human population down to 500, a manageable 500 million. So listen, if you and I leave it to the globalists and the God, small g of globalism, then we've got a difficulty. We've got a problem. Because the spirit behind globalism, the spiritual doctrines behind globalism, that is becoming the ideology in every way, whether it's in politics, economics, the environment, which includes humanity. And the concept is, well, there has to be some kind of human population reduction. The spirit behind globalism and the spirituality, that finite spirituality that is guiding us, well, guiding the world to the mirage of a globalism, includes, well, ridding the planet of billions of people. 2012ers and the Mayan prophecies, they're understanding this more and more and more. So old occult themes, ancient Mayan prophecies, the spirit behind globalism and the, well, the spiritual didache, the doctrines, well, they don't want everybody to know them, but that it includes the reduction of the human race. If the Georgia Guidestones are any kind of indicator, the dream of a manageable 500 million instead of the, billions that we have right now. So let's ask the question, who's going to die? Is humanity just expendable? Kind of like the Nazi ideology of eliminating a race of people and anybody else that was not desired. Eugenics, the concept again of shoveling hundreds of thousands of human beings into ovens. Well, the concept of the final solution, well, it's not over. It's not over by a long shot. And we are faced with not the spirituality of globalism that's promising an evolution to deification. Underneath that doctrine, that Luciferic doctrine, is also the concept of the elimination of humanity, the cleansing of those who would resist the coming globalism. Let me say again, welcome tonight. This is our hour of Shatter the Darkness. And this is the voice of Shatter the Darkness, Russ Dizdar. Listen, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. You can go there to find out about, listen, hundreds of MP3 downloads. We're giving away one of the courses, the training courses, free, called Confronting the Powers. So believers in Christ, it would be a great course. It's an older course, but go ahead and get a hold of it. Download it and use it. Give it to friends. There is also 31 Days Ablaze. Devotions. We're going through the prophetic writings and what they reveal in Scripture. So there they are for you on a daily basis. But I want to mention also coming up, you want to check again, shatterthedarkness.net, two conferences coming up. One in St. Louis, and that is the one called The Truth is Out There, Christian Symposium on the Paranormal. The Truth is Out There, Christian Symposium on the Paranormal. Now, that one is April 9th and 10th, just a couple of months away. Dr. Mary Jo Schneller, Russ Dizdar, Dr. Gregory Reed, Tony Cal. They'll be talking about things like alien encounters, witch hunts and missions, psychic warfare, false signs and wonders, demonology and exorcisms, and a lot more. So take a look if you want to. There's a PDF flyer and a way of contact for registration. More will come out on that. Then there's also the conference in Nashville, April the 23rd to the 24th. There's also last-days.net. You can check it out again on our shatterthedarkness.net website. And you can click there and see the website, or click there. Dr. Mike Bennett from Future Quake Radio, Tom Bionic, Guy Malone, Roswell, Chris White, Revelations Studio, and Mike Tate are all going to be a part of that, and I'll be a part of that. So two of the conferences coming up in April. Check it out if you want to maybe come and listen. We're going to talk about life and hope. Yes, there's a lot of signs of the times, and God has given big pictures of some of the most catastrophic events that will come, including such things as earthquakes and earth changes and famines. And, well, listen, the earth is in decay, Romans chapter 8. It is in a decay right now. It is breaking down because of something toxic that has affected everything. And we can, well, you can read about it, Romans chapter 8. Check it out. But in the midst of that, in this ongoing Luciferian agenda. And no, the devil hasn't gone away. The ancient dragon hasn't gone away. Liberal theology can't erase him. And denial doesn't discard him or make him, you know, fade away. The realities are there is an ancient and dark and horrific presence, the father of lies, a murderer, led a third of the angels in insurrection with God. And led humanity, you and I, my friend. That's why we have these wars and death and rape and all of the pains that you and I experience, including the concept of death. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you know what anaphasia is? Athanasia. It's the idea of well, the opposite of death, without death. The Greek word immortal, anaphasia, or athanatos, coming from that root, is the concept, again, of without death. And we're going to take a look at the word immortal. I left over here, I'm looking again, wired.com on the web, and gene therapy. You know, they're still looking at the concept and why we die, why we age, and why, you know, and so there's this whole issue that is, you know, under massive study. I mean, listen, human enhancement, cryonics, all these kind of things that would guide humanity, and many would pay millions of dollars to prolong their life. Drugs are doing that. Things. All kinds of things that mankind is looking for. Literally, the fountain of youth, and spiritually, there is a lie so deep, so broad, so wide, that it is a shock to me that even humanity believes it. That is that Luciferic spiritual evolution to deification and somehow giving mankind, well, either at least prolonging life. So it's kind of strange to me that New Age spirituality, on the one hand with the Mayan prophecies and the concept of ancient occult stuff from Alice Bailey about the cleansing of the earth, the Georgia Guidestones. See, there's this whole concept of final solution, of the destruction of humanity, that if there was something catastrophic in 4 billion, 5 billion people were gone. Well, some are saying, well, that might be good for the planet, starting all over. What guarantees are there that the human nature as it is will change? See, that's the big issue. That's what everybody wants to change. Human nature, no longer committing rapes, no longer killing one another, no more racism, on and on and on and on. Behavior is one of the issues. Well, what if all the behavior changes, but the physical body continues to die? And there is death all around us. Got to tell you a story today, and I just will never forget as a pastor all those years, I did a lot of funerals. And one was a young lady that had gave her life to Christ. She was married, and they had a little child, and he was growing. She'd contracted a disease, and to the very end, she gave thanks and praise to God and knew that she would live forever. She had a hope that was witnessed on the inside of her life by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. So there was an incredible testimony about her dying or leaving here and going. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, the Bible says. But at the funeral, you know, of course, we went to the graveside, and there is where the casket was set on top of that kind of like rack over top the 6-foot deep hole. That square, you know, dugout grave. So we're out there doing all the stuff that we do at the end and saying the things we say and giving the prayers, and everything was over. But a flap of the fake grass had lifted up and right next to the casket, and you can look down into the grave hole. Square. The little boy of the mother who had died. Of course, little kids don't know everything going on. He'd seen his mother in the casket. He'd known that his mother was going. His mother had told him and talked to him. But I was standing next to him, making sure he didn't get too close to that square, 6-foot deep gravesite. He's looking down in there. Grandmother said, "Come on," and called him by name. He looked up at me and he says, "Is that where my mommy is going to be?" Now, that kind of broke my heart. That was an incredible question for, I guess, a 6-year-old to ask. The casket lying on top, and yet the flap of the fake grass blows back, and you can see down in that 6-foot deep gravesite. And of course, later, after everybody goes, the people that work there will come and lower, after they put it in the vault, lower down into that 6-foot deep gravesite, and then cover it over, of course, and then there's going to be flowers around and a headstone. But a little boy asks about his mother. "Is that where my mother's going to be?" Pointing down into that cold hole in the ground. Is that the end? Is that the end of humanity? Go to any gravesite. Of course, many people now go out to grave areas, cemeteries, because they have little park benches and they have lunch and they can, well, it's quiet. I've been to a lot of cemeteries in our dealings with satanic ritual abuse, satanic rituals and covens and things that have been done. I've been there to see the slabs turned sideways and used as altars, satanic altars. I've been there to see markings and candle wax and places of fire and even human or animal blood. It's there in those cemeteries where all those hundreds, if not thousands in some case, of headstones, where we know that bodies have been what is called laid to rest. And the fact of the matter is, the physical human body is not really resting per se. The physical body, well, it's going to go from, you know, it's going to go to dust. Everything's going to change and go to dust. The face you and I have, now listen, don't go away, don't run away yet. The face you and I have, this physical body that you and I have, if we are here, you know, if Christ does not return and the end of the age does not come for the next 50, 60, 80, 100 years from now, all of us, the one who's talking and those who are listening to the archives, we're all going to be gone. The physical body is going to be gone. You and I shall physically, Thanatos, die. Death. Dead. And I've been around enough dead bodies, funeral homes. Again, to see, it's weird, just weird. The physical human body that was alive yesterday is now a day later and then a couple of days later at the funeral home after everything's been taken care of. And, you know, they come in and they fix your hair and they do the makeup and they do all the stuff and put you in the suit and lay you in the casket and there you are. Where are you? Where are you? I mean, there's your physical body, but where are you? Where are you? Because there's your face, there's your arms, there's your legs, there's your body, but you're not there. You're not there at all. So we've got to come to terms with the concepts of mortality. The concept of mortality, the concept of death. And I'm going to give again a revelation that has come from God, and there's an answer, and I've spoken it for, you know, 30 years as I've spoken at funerals, and I've stood there and looked at those who are sad and depressed and just sitting there quiet waiting for you to say a few words. And when I bring up the fact of death, where does it come from? Death. Was it meant to be? Death. It changes everything. Death. There's separation. Death. Psychologists say that we fear it just about more than anything else. Death. Yet this week I've been going over a series. And the series is simply called The Nature of God versus the Globalist Small G God and the Counterfeit Spirituality. I want to tell you why I'm so bugged about counterfeit spirituality. It comes from finite, seducing spirits that have brought out their alternative spiritual teachings, revelations, experiences, events, convincing psychics and astral projectors and remote viewers and occult writers and those engaged with extra-dimensional presence, non-human intelligence. And in all those cases, the sources are telling them that somehow there's life after life. Somehow they're telling them in the midst of what are called near-death experiences, that there is some kind of life after life, because people see a light, because people go through a tunnel, because people lift up out of their bodies and they look back and they realize that they're alive out of the body. But in all the near-death experiences, which are not, by the way, the definition of biblical death, final death, the idea of death, real death, Thanatos. And so we're talking about near death, but not death. We're talking about experiences that can be spiritual, they can be all kinds of things, a mixture of things, You know, there are those that have said that they have gone out of the body, and, well, they say they died. I'm not sure, that, you know, biblically they didn't die, but they had an experience. They went to heaven, or they went to hell, or, you know, they experienced what it was. I mean, they, you know, there's those that have come back in terror of what they have heard, what they have felt. Others that have seen what they felt were angels or a bright light or going into the light. But again, no definitions, no definitive anything. And near-death experiences might tell people that there is life beyond the physical body. But what is it? Where do we go? Who's in charge of it? Do we fly around? What is the realm? What is the location? Do we see anybody? Do we just go out there forever and ever and ever and ever? And so the question is, where are some of the definitive answers? The answers of life and death and, listen, immortality, because tonight we're contrasting the alternative spiritual streams with the biblical revelation or what God the Holy Spirit has said about immortality and about, well, the ability of the immortal God, the Athanatos God, the without death God, God who's never experienced death, God who's never, well, not in the state of God is spirit. Obviously, in Christ, designed, foretold, everything told that God in human flesh would go to the cross and experience death. God was on a mission to destroy death. God was on a mission to destroy the reasons for death. God was on a mission to destroy the one that had the power of death. Now, that's three things I want to talk to you about tonight concerning immortality and the granting by the infinite God. That's why we've been doing this contrast. I'm convinced that Luciferians and Satanists and globalists, I'm convinced that New Agers and many of those who have bought into that new alternative spiritual doctrine, teaching, even with its experiences, revelations, writings, they all come from the same source and bring about the same teaching. But none of it brings about definitive realities of immortal or indestructible immortality. See, part of the attributes of God, including that God is immaterial, God is indestructible, God is infinite and immeasurable, He is immense, that God is and has always been Athanatos, without death, immortal. Now, maybe you've read this before, I don't know, but there's this incredible litany of biblical revelation. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, there's this, scripture that says this. It talks about, in the way of righteousness, there is life. Along that path is immortality. Or go to Romans, chapter 1. It talks about you and I as humanity. Humanity that listened to the lie and threw away the word of God and closed the door in the face of God. And it says that we have exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images, created finite things. Or Romans 2:7, it gives reference to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality. Let me give a definition again out of, again, scripture that has been written, consistent, always broadening the picture of God. No one verse, not even one book of the Bible could give a vast and great and broad and wide picture of God, of God's agenda, of God revealing what really has occurred to humanity, what is going to happen, and all the, well, the answers for life, death, evil, and everything else. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, The Spirit of God leads the writer to say an incredible, it's almost like a doxology in a sense, now to the King Eternal, in reference to God, literally in context, in reference to Christ. Now to the King Eternal, immortal, Athanatos, without death. Now to the King Eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, you go further than that to 1 Timothy. In reference again to God, who alone is immortal. And who gives, listen, and who lives in unapproachable light. Whom no one has seen or can see. Well, not in these eyes that we have right here. That's a theme throughout Scripture, that in this fallen world, eyes that were once meant to see God, walk with God, look at Genesis chapter 2, we as humanity would have been walking with God in the beauty of that evening, in the cool of the evening. There was a visible relationship, an undisturbed, perfect relationship, majestic relationship, as we bore the Imago Dei, the image of God. The never-dying God, the God who is without death, the immortal God, creates. And let me tell you right now, we were meant to live forever. We were meant to be immortal. Now, you could go over all kinds of science and look at the, and I'm looking at a book that I'm reading right now called The Science of God. Another one called Science in the Akashic Field. Another one called Science in Theology. Another one that deals with the God particle, the language of God. Looking at all these different aspects and again, seeing in the world of physics, mathematics, science, all kinds of, research and looking into genetics. And there is a desire to know what causes death. I'm talking about, you know, getting older and older and older. I mean, the concept that the body decays and no longer renews itself and ages, literally dies. And without any kind of intervention, it's without question, there's things that we can do, eat better, exercise, drugs that can be taken care of, physical repairs that can be taken care of. There's a lot of people projecting human enhancement with new levels of science and technology that humanity can live to be 125, 150 years old. Who'd want to? I mean, what will our physical bodies be like living at 125, 150 years old? What if we could? And what about cryonics? And what about the concept of downloading your consciousness into some kind of computer, your spirit, whatever it may be, and then finding another human body, a clone, to simply pay the price, clone your body, and let your consciousness be re-downloaded into that body? Kind of what they did in Avatar. And then you live again. Really? Live another, 67? In this fallen world? This life? Is that what it is? And then what if we can do it again and again and again and again and again? 1,000 years. Is nothing going to change? Will there still be rape and war and disease, racism, stealing, cheating, governments that lie, bankers that steal money? And what about the ancient dragon at the end of days? Apocalypse, Armageddon. When everybody feels this presence, this ominous, catastrophic stuff coming down the pike. So you can live to be 150, you pay $1 billion to do so, but an earthquake occurs, and the third floor, since you're on the second floor, crushes you. And there's no ability to then, with a crushed, smashed, total, wigged-out body, now you're really Thanatos. You're dead. And the question again is it just you in the physical body and that's it? Is that the atheist's answer, that you die, you get put into that gravesite 6 feet under? Is that where my mommy is? Is that where we are for the rest of, whatever's left of the human race or of time, existence? When the sun goes out and everything freezes, as they say, that's just it. You live, then you're erased. Then you're erased, deleted. Now think about it for a moment. Non-existence. People in pain don't mind dissociating that. But I'm talking about real life. You and I is real life. We fear death. We don't want to die. People scream for their lives. People beg. People will pay. Because they don't want to die. I mentioned to you about death being an intrusion. I mentioned to you about death being part of the results of our own choices. And I mentioned to you the concept of the psychological or even spiritual sense or the fear of death. And what is it like for somebody who's near death? And I've been to the hospitals where I was by the deathbed a number of times over the years with people. I was there the night that I've said before, my grandmother, she died or near death, and they put the paddles and shocked her and brought her back a couple of times. But finally she looked up at me, patted me on the face, and says, "I've got to go now. Make sure you stay warm. Wear a coat." And then she left. She was confident about where she was going. She knew. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now see, I don't know about some of you who are listening. I don't know if by the presence of God's providence, his good arrangement, that maybe somebody that even knows, you say, "Well, I've got cancer and I've only got 6 months to live." Every human being only has so much time to live. You only have so much time. If you're 20, less time. If you're 50, less time. And again, all the human enhancements, and even magical enhancements, there's some ancient dark rituals, come out of the Nazi black flame, out of that old, the combination of a sense of science and ritual dark powers. Upon death, the handing down of the human spirit, coated by spiritual powers, placed into the next generation. At least that's what they say, to escape death. So that the grandfather, so forth, can live into the next generation. Whether that's true or not is, to be examined, I believe, in my perspective, by the Word of God, since it is unchangeable, infallible, and true. Since it speaks about the origins of life, what we were meant to be, what we wish we were. Don't you just wish there were no earthquakes? Nobody would rob you. Nobody would steal. Nobody would cheat. Everybody in the political world told the truth. All those in the world of economics. There was no such thing as greed, stealing, cheating. Yet it's here, inside humanity. And even things far, more horrific and evil. If you have seen some of the things that I've seen in the police academy in depth, if you've seen some of the stuff, humanity can do some of the most wicked things, man, the most wicked things you could consider. I mean, just inconceivable. And the slaughtering of human babies. And all the torture that can go on. Well, let me tell you something. Here tonight, between 6 and 7 p.m., shatterthedarkness.net. This is Russ Dizdar. Glad you're listening tonight. You can always send us a note saying you're listening, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And we appreciate that we have a dear friend that already wrote in, acknowledging that they're listening and appreciating what they're hearing. We're glad to hear that. We're on Monday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, 6 to 7 p.m. And then on Thursday night, survivetothrive.net, we're on at 7 p.m. We have podcasts and broadcasts that we put out by MP3. And we have a live show on Sunday night for 2 hours. So we're glad to be with you, and I have no problem telling you that the compelling presence in my life is simply the love of God, the presence of God. God is real. God dwells within me. At one time in my life, I did not know God, but now I do, in Christ. Not a fake, dumbed down, deified New Age or ufologist Jesus. You know, some of the crazy psychics out there that are making money, though they have made massive, clearly massive public error in a lot of their predictions, yet they write books about Christ and reduce him to their level of a psychic. Because they don't know him. Because they haven't read the revelation of the Spirit of God. So it really means, listen, what's really important is, where is the source? What is the source of your belief system? So I'm telling you, the source of my belief system, the Spirit of God, the revelation of the Word of God that gives the pictures of God being immortal, indestructible, infinite, invisible, the God of heaven becoming visible in human flesh. But there's a reason for that. There's a reason not just to see us face to face in the sense of a physical encounter. So anybody reading the Gospels is going to see a Jesus that is completely unlike any, quote, religious figure, spiritual figure in human history. See, once I was into the old occultism and into certain spirituality and into Buddhism and practiced at a temple, nothing that I read, nothing that I was into, including Buddha himself, though a nice guy, was not God in human flesh, never claimed to be a savior, did not come to give eternal life, but was constantly seeking. And I'm very sure that some of you listening to this are seekers. Some that do reconnaissance on the shows that we do because of the concepts of mind control and what the government did and what the old Nazis. There's old Nazis that listen. Late 60s, 70s, I mean, you're aged, you're old. Listen, Thanatos is coming. All the demons in hell cannot help you. The fallen cherub can only give you the spiritual mirage, like a drug that makes you feel something, but it's not real. That's how it was in the garden, in the beginning. And the same Luciferic doctrine given then, thousands of years ago, that led the human race out of immortality and into this life that is inseparable from death. Life where human beings can slaughter other human beings, kill and murder, are now a part of the scene. None of which was, well, meant in the beginning. And so whether you look at science and all the studies and their geneticists that are, you know, if they can find, you know, the gene, or if they can find, you know, synthesize a gene that can go in there and instead of this non-regeneration, non-renewal and aging, dying process that decays until finally we are, well, the physical structure can no longer take it and quit, heart attack, whatever it is. where diseases take and destroy the human construct. And though we save life and resuscitate, and obviously as moms and dads, we want our children to live. As children, we want our parents around. And probably many, if not most of those listening right now, have faced the death of someone they've known. As I said in the beginning, death never was meant for us. That's why there's a battle with it. That's why we fight it. That's why billions can be spent on enhancing or prolonging human life. Looking for the answer. Searching. But just for your thought, just for your consideration, did you know, out of all the so-called religious leaders and spiritual gurus and everybody else around the world, it is Jesus Christ that commanded Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days and they thought the body would be rotting and smelling, commanded his spirit to return, the physical body to be resurrected, all in an instantaneous moment. Probably that on an atomic level of that unsplittable moment in time when Lazarus stood up again. And the author of life, the creator now as redeemer in human flesh, tells them to take off the grave clothes. This is the spot where it says Jesus wept. Two words, shortest verse in all of Scripture. The Creator now in human flesh looking at a tomb, people mourning and crying, and the Word of God says that Jesus wept. Very deep, strong, emotional word. It means that he wept, that it was seeable, that it was, you could hear, that it was strong. He wept. Wept. Because there was no hope? Not at all. The Creator stands in front of a tomb in which the physical body of Lazarus, whom he had known, was rotting. The separation occurred. People are weeping. This is life and death. This is eternity. This is all the issues in one. And now God in human flesh stands there and he weeps. Before he calls Lazarus back, before he says, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Yet shall he live. Let those in their 70s and 80s and 90s that may catch a glimpse of this broadcast. Let the elitists who have bought into the lie, the Luciferic lie, let the New Agers that have sought every kind of health food and practice of yoga, and you can sit on the top of Mount Shasta, you can sit in the desert by the hills in Sedona. Meditate all you want, but you know it doesn't change. No matter what you do, how many creams you put on, eventually oil of Olay, it just doesn't work any longer. That which we were meant to have has been taken away because we did it, because we opened the door, because we chucked the immortal God and exchanged the immortal God and our own immortality and our relationship with God and our majesty for a spiritual lie coming from the seducer of the ages. We believe the lie, my friend. We believe the sickening lie. There's no track record at that moment in time, thousands of years. Now there is. The track record of the fallen cherub is echoed by Jesus himself in the gospel, that he is the father of lies. Lies. Lies in the counterfeit spiritual streams flowing from the Akashic records, flowing from the non-human entities, flowing from the, quote, grays and the ascended masters, the great white brotherhood, the channelers and the psychics and those getting the data coming down into their unconscious minds. All giving a different answer, all coming from not just energy. If you're getting the energy, it's coming from an entity. You're being lied to. The seduction of the ages, God is now once again bringing a piercing light to help us know the difference. As God gave in the beginning, as God gave a word, a revelation, a powerful word that would have completely preserved our immortality, our majesty, our visible and physical and spiritual walk with God. And what was it? Don't do it. Don't do it. Because if you do, in the Hebrew, the expression is this: in dying, you shall die. You can go to Genesis chapter 3 and see the spiritual death, psychological death, mental death, emotional death, the ecological death, the social level, the even the created order now is infected. Inside of you right now as a human being is a toxic code. It's called the sin nature. Romans chapter 8, if you're a seeker, study what the declaration or revelation of that sin nature is dwelling within. And if that is what is dwelling in you, you are separate from God, you don't know God, and you're marked for death physically and death eternally. In that chapter, there is an answer. In that chapter, there's an answer concerning the death gene. There's an answer that comes from the immortal God that brings back into us his presence, and it brings an effect. The gift of Omnion Zoe, eternal life. Eternal life. Ah, Thanatos, without death. Now, I'm going to tell you again, especially if you love science and studies and research, to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you're going to find out that the mortal, in an unsplittable moment of time on an atomic level, where there is an exertion of power, the source of that power is infinite. It's not the super collider at CERN. It's not heart being aimed at you. It's not a drug that you can get down there among the ruins of the Mayans that you can drink and prolong the physical body and live in a fallen world forever. It's not in a pill. It's not in the possibilities of downloading your human spirit into some kind of container, only to be re-downloaded into another physical body to live here all over again. You know what? Really, scientists, geneticists, physicists, theoretical physicists need to take these concepts to their logical conclusion. And what about the other source? What about the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the words of Christ, the actions of Christ, the acts of Christ, and then the cross? Most people don't realize that one of about 300 prophecies before God came into human flesh was found in Isaiah 53. It's all about the cross. An old rugged cross. at the old rugged cross, the revelation and exposure and the answers of satanic presence, radical evil, sin issues, death and dying, behavioral changes, eternal life, heaven and hell are all answered at the cross. There's no greater mathematics, physics, science than the science of God. At the cross, we find the physics of God. You can call it miracle if you want to, but behind the miracle, that which we cannot understand, are the physics of God, Romans chapter 1, or read it in Ephesians chapter 1. There was a power exerted after Jesus had been dead. Even he knew he came to give up this physical body, but that it would be raised from the dead. The prophecy of the resurrection of Christ from the dead was 1,000 years prior to his arrival. Psalm 16. Do you want to live forever? Do you want the totality of the wrongs of your life completely blotted out? Do you want to know God on a personal level? Do you want to be able to see God face to face? Do you want eternal life? And I don't care who you are, soldier or scientist, Luciferian or Lady of the Night. There's one that promises the gift of eternal life because, well, he is the source of aeternitas, without death. He is the source where there never was death. The eternal God, the infinite God, there is no death there. There's no thanatos, just immortality. Just life. Life that is unquenchable, that does not fade. Life. Bursting with life. The universe hangs on that life. Your breathing and your heart beating right now ultimately relies on the sustaining power of God. So tonight on a Friday night, January the 22nd, whether listening live or maybe some other day, the archives, could be by the providence of God, that good arrangement of God, since he seeks you, the totality of humanity, since God came for the human race and is not willing that even any one of us perish. You see, ultimately, we, the human race, are to be his children. Though we chucked him, slammed the door in his face, and embraced the fallen, finite cherub who cannot evolve to immortality, to being infinite, to becoming God, though he promises it for his followers. Listen, you can embrace the mirage, that's your choice. You can embrace atheism, that is your choice. But sit back and think through the logical conclusions, I mean the end run of all your atheism. As an agnostic, you could be a denialist. Just simply not wanting to engage. Sit back, smoke a couple of joints, drink a couple of beers, and look at the sun go down. All the while, your body is aging and you don't know the meaning of life. And if you had children, you couldn't tell them either. Only Jesus, before his death, before his resurrection, only Christ could say, I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone would believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Zoe, the life that comes down from heaven. God gives immortality. God gives eternal life. God can give it to you. Here in this moment of time, accept the love that comes from God. The Savior at the cross came for you. It's all about you. It's about his love for you. It's about his love for humanity. That's why every Christian should get the message out. That's why every believer should be a part of the mission of God, and that high frontline mission of God is to reach every tribe, every language, every people group with this gospel message, this good news of great joy. The angels of God sang about it. The demons trembled in the face of it. And humanity's hope, eternal hope, immortal hope, indestructible hope, was birthed. God, the genetics, mixing with human flesh, Christ. Author of life, the immortal God, the infinite immortal God alone, has the ability to give immortality. And the Bible shows this again and again. And so I would literally, because of the the passion of God for your life, plead with you to listen. Once again, open the Gospel of John and look and read and look and read at living words that have spirit and life in them. Whosoever calls on the name of the living Christ, you can be saved, forgiven, washed, cleansed, and come to know God in a moment. It's a gift, not earned. You can live life with that doobie and with that beer and looking at that sunset and complain all you want. You can listen to 1,000 talk shows that jibber-jabber about spirits and dreams and ghosts. Only God, the infinite, immortal God, not only can give, but wills to give the gift of eternal life, wants you to come in relationship, and ultimately, you know what I mean? In the end, our ability to have a glorified, indestructible, immortal body that will be able to see God face to face. That's what Christ, the cross, and the summoning of the Spirit of God for you to come is all about. I pray you come to the living Christ. You can write to me, Russ Dizdar. Listen, shatterxmail@sccglobal.net. Take a look, shatterthedarkness.net. Good night, folks. Friday night, January the 22nd. We'll see you Sunday night for some of you, and Monday night again, 6 p.m. It's been a privilege to be with you. God bless.